Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Hook, Line, and Splitter, episode 76, presented by Judge Shaw Injury Law. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Hook, Line, and Splitter, presented by Judge Shaw Injury Law. We understand the toll injuries take on families, and we're here to help. For free consultation, call 1-866-909-6894 or visit Judge Shaw. injurylaw.com. Another fun one today. This is with Blue Claw strength and conditioning coach Mark Jesse, who we sat down with last Thursday or Friday up atop Shoretown Ballpark in the press box there before a Blue Claws game that night. Blue Claws are in Wilmington this week, entering the week, going into the game on Tuesday the 22nd. They are tied for first with the Brooklyn Cyclones. Blue Claws will have the tiebreaker. We'll talk about more about that on the backside. But no, Mark was great. He's in his second year in the Philly system. He finished up last year with the Blue Claws and has been the strength and conditioning coach for the team the whole year. So, you know, we talk about some of his roles and how the Phillies come up with specific plans catered to each individual player, you know, how they develop those plans, what goes into them. You know, share a couple of examples, how they try to keep guys fresh over the course of the season. And I thought the most interesting part was when Mark talked about how integrated they are from the strength and conditioning side to the player development side, and how they look at, you know, on-field metrics, or at least on-field analytical metrics like velo or bat speed to help determine off-field plans for the players. It's pretty detailed. The Mark gets into some great stuff, and I think you're going to like it. So, without further ado, here's Blue Claw strength and conditioning coach Mark Jesse. Our guest, Blue Claw strength and conditioning coach Mark Jesse, who joins us high atop Shoretown Ballpark here in Lakewood on a beautiful Friday afternoon. Blue Claws tied for first place heading into the weekend, and they'll host Asheville here starting Friday. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. So this will be a lot of fun. You know, you were here for a little bit last year, and been the strength coach here with the Blue Claws this year. But first, tell us about your background. Where'd you grow up, and how'd you get into this field?
Yeah, so born in Philadelphia, raised in the suburbs. Went to high school in PA, went to Penn State University, and then kind of started in the physical therapy world as like an aide, trying to get into that, and that didn't work out, so found my way into strength and conditioning from there.
Had you always wanted to do sports? And you always wanted to do baseball, or just kind of that's where the chips fell?
That's kind of where the chips fell, yeah. I knew I always wanted to work in sports. Always have been like a diehard Philly fan my whole life. And when I went to grad school, I started doing research on biomechanics of baseball pitching, and then ended up at Cressy Sports Performance for an internship. And then I was just like immersed in the baseball world by that point.
And then the Phillies obviously have some connections, right, with Cressy, or I guess vice versa.
Yeah. So Brian Kaplan, our assistant major league pitching coach, and Mark Lowy, our upper level pitching coordinator.
Yeah, came from there. And I know we had Travis Hergert, the pitching coordinator, on this podcast. I know he talks to Brian Kaplan like daily. Like, he's really involved in everything with the minors, and some of the players, right, have they've gotten out of there, have trained down there at Cressy too.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so we have quite a few guys who are either from Florida or will go down there in the off season and do their prep work, getting ready for the season.
So when you're growing up in Philly, and then the Phillies are good at that point. So how did you end up, you know, there are a lot of different, there are 30 different organizations. How did you end up with the Phillies themselves?
So I took a job out in Vegas after my internship, and I was running a sports performance facility out there. And I was lucky enough to work with one of our Phillies players, and then started making some connections. Started talking to Lowy as they were working with the Phillies organization, and he kind of let me know that in the next year there was going to be some changes to the strength and conditioning department, and he said just keep an eye out. And I was able to connect with him and Cap, and then I was able to interview with Morgan, our director of strength and conditioning, and the rest is history from there.
So what was your first year with the Phillies?
Last year was my first year, so I was in the FCL. I was hired as the FCL strength coach, and then obviously Vanessa, who was the strength coach here, Went on maternity leave, and I was fortunate enough to come up to High A in my first year.
To finish up the season, and then you've been here all year this year. So what's your – give the folks an idea of what the routine is for you on a game day like this.
Yeah, so there's quite a bit that goes into the daily prep. Obviously, we set the schedule for the guys. All the pitchers are on kind of their own schedule based off of their daily routine, when they're pitching, if they're hot, if they're not hot. So we'll get to the field, send out the schedule, get guys in for lifts if they have to lift that day. We'll run some stretches, get our sprint work in, and kind of go about our business, getting ready for the game. If there's any guys who need extra prep work, we'll get on that. So,
how much of what you do with the players on a daily basis is through the baseball side? Like, hey, we need a program for this player because he needs to get faster. This guy needs to get stronger. This guy, you know, stronger arms, and this guy stronger legs. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of the beauty of what we do as strength and conditioning coaches. We kind of have to speak the language of all the different departments. So, you know, I talk with Meg, our head athletic trainer. I'm constantly in communication with Phil and Brady, our pitching coaches, and Stassi, our hitting coach as well, and then even talking to some of the upper level guys. But yeah, everybody's on their own individualized program, and that's all based off of metrics that we collect. So we look at force data, we look at sprint speeds, we look at bat speed, exit velocities, pitch velocities, all that stuff, and then from there kind of see how each player moves and how they what they need based off of their movement patterns.
I was talking to Cam Wynn yesterday. We're taping this on Friday the 18th, but I was talking to Cam Wynn on Thursday the 17th, and he pitched in last night's game, just before the game, and you know, he was saying, you know, he's been working this year to try to add some velocity, and you know, some guys use those plyo balls. He kind of said not as much, and he's trying to just use he's got a big tall frame, and he's got flexibility to turn that into velocity. So that's his plan. Kind of take us through that and how each player gets their own.
Yeah, so Cam is, I mean, he's a genetic freak. He's unbelievable. I mean, 6'4", 6'5", 220. He can get into some pretty impressive positions as a pitcher. So for him, it's just basically maximizing his ability to use his strength throughout those ranges of motion. And then I would say similar, like we have a handful of guys who are on like velocity style programs. And for them, it's just, you know, a lot of these guys are younger and their training ages are younger. So the low hanging fruit is to get them stronger. And if we can get them stronger and more powerful, ideally that's going to transfer over to the mound.
And, you know, obviously you want to see them win every day, but these programs are designed for, what, 4 to 6 months through the course of the season?
Yeah, so they'll change. I write 3-week blocks, and every 3 weeks we'll kind of reevaluate where they're at based off of, like, pitch velocity or bat speed, their metrics that we collect on the force plates, and then we'll kind of tweak based off of things that I'm seeing throughout the year. So early in the year, it was a heavy focus on strength. And as we've transitioned towards more of the back end of the year, a lot of guys are a little bit more beat up. So we switched to more of like lighter loads, more explosive work, just trying to keep them explosive and powerful.
What are force plates?
So our force plates, we use Vald in their force plates. They measure basically how high you jump and how much power you can produce. And that information we store and we collect and we monitor throughout the year. So we're always looking to see, you know, is there a drop off in power? Is that a sign of fatigue for a pitcher? Or is their power continuing to stay on or trending up in a good direction? And oftentimes, you know, I think a lot of people believe that you just maintain throughout the season. But with a lot of these guys, we've seen increases in power, increases in strength throughout the season.
I think it's interesting that you're using a lot of the baseball metrics as opposed to, you know, weight room or, you know, just other measurements, but you're using baseball metrics to kind of judge and build off of build the plans out moving forward. Exit velocity, pitch velocity, bat speed, all that stuff. You know, I think some people kind of think you have
the weight room metrics and you have the on-field metrics, but you use the on-field metrics to build the weight room plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the common misconception is that a strength coach is kind of just a meathead in the weight room lifting weights. And I think, you know, our strength staff top to bottom is very different from that. We're very integrated with all the different departments, and I think that's the beauty of being a strength coach for this organization, is we have the freedom to program how we see fit for each player. And, you know, as long as we can back up what we're doing and show that it's working, then I think we're doing good things for these guys.
How much of, I know you've only been with the Phillies for a little over a year, or almost, you know, almost two full seasons now, but a year and a half, whatever. How much have you seen the technology kind of evolve in your time, you know, from when you were a student and learning, you know, to where you are now using it on a daily basis?
Yeah, so in the private sector, you know, unless you're working for like a really big corporation, you really don't have access to the same technology that they have here. So when I worked in the private sector, I worked with a junior college, and, you know, a lot of it was just based off like pitch velocity. And, you know, we would use jump mats to measure like vertical jumps and broad jumps and things like that. But here, last year, from my understanding, is the first year we really started incorporating force plates. And it was just gathering data at that point just to see where our guys were and where our opportunities for advancement were. And this year, now that we have a substantial amount of data points, we're able to utilize that more in our programming and be a driver and be able to back up like what we're doing is actually working.
Who are some of the guys in the Philly system that have been influences on you?
So as like strength and conditioning?
Yeah.
So Pat Trainer, our minor league coordinator, has been a huge influence. I was lucky enough to spend a lot of time with him last year in the FCL. And he really helped me understand the baseball side of things. You know, being in the private sector, you don't get to work on field as much. But being here, you know, I'll watch BP, I'll watch bullpens, I'll get outside and watch guys throw, see how they move. And that stuff kind of was learned through last year. And getting up here at the end of last year, you know, being with that staff, they really helped me understand the dynamic of the coaches and the players. And, you know, I think that's been huge. And Morgan, our director, he's been a big influence on me. He's always dropping, like, words of wisdom. Because both those guys have been in baseball for 10 plus years, and they have a ton of knowledge, a ton of experience. And it's just understanding like the communication between me and the coaches, I think, and the players. And that's the biggest thing.
Now, obviously you hope this season goes as long as it can.
Mm-hmm.
But even as long as it can, it's only another month. So at what point do you guys start to plan out the programs that you put these players through for the off season until you get them back in spring training in March?
Yeah, so with our pitching coordinators and our hitting coordinators, we'll do like end of year reviews, kind of go over how the season went, what they did well, and then areas of opportunity for them to work on. And then from that information, we'll also look at like the strength and conditioning side. Again, like their power metrics, their strength metrics, see how they were moving, and then based off of all that information, we'll start to formulate their off-season programs.
How often throughout the year do you do the check-ins just to kind of see where everybody is, or do you just base it off the on-field metrics, the velocity, the bat speed, the exit velos, and the like, or do you kind of do weekly, bi-weekly, or bi-monthly, you know, check-ins with the guys with the, you know, how's their vertical, you know, just make sure that it's all flowing in the right direction.
Yeah, so we assess weekly their jump metrics and strength metrics. And with the pitching side and the hitting side, we'll go into a bit of like a deeper dive with some of the players. More often that's just conversations between me and the coaching staff. But we're always kind of assessing where guys are at and opportunities for us to push them forward. But yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like a constant flow of information. I think one thing we do really well here in Jersey Shore, we meet daily and kind of go over guys who might need a little bit extra or might need a little bit of like a blow that day. And so that information, you know, Meg kind of leads that, and we take all that information and we roll with it from there.
What would be a typical, without putting a name on it, what would be a typical plan for a for a pitcher over the course of a 3-week block?
So as in like now or in like the off season?
No, in season.
In season? Yeah, so it kind of depends on the guy. You have like a Cam Wynn. He's very strong, right? And so for him, it's kind of more of like a power focus, just trying to keep him explosive, trying to keep him athletic, feeling free. And then there's some other guys that maybe, again, like the low-hanging fruit is just strength, and so their 3-week block will be more focused on moving some heavier weights and just getting overall strength and power build up. And that really, again, it really depends on the guy, where they're at, how often they play. Those things all kind of drive the programming.
With a reliever, mm-hmm. you don't know when they're going to pitch.
Yeah.
So how does that impact what they can do and what you want them to do in the week?
Yeah, so that one always gets tricky. Obviously, early in the year, we had a lot of relievers, and they were pitching quite often. So managing workload throughout the week was a difficult task, but that's just something that, you know, having the conversations with Phil and Brady, understanding who's hot that night, who's potentially going to pitch, that'll drive what we do. So, like, if a guy's hot that day, they'll probably do some short sprints. They'll throw some medicine balls, just try to be explosive so they're ready to go when the game comes. If they maybe threw the day before and lifted that night, then that next day is going to be like a full recovery day. They'll have some, like, light bike, a little mobility, some stuff to just make them feel good.
The starters, though, are a little different because generally they pitch the same day every week. Not always, but close. Same day every week. So then, you know, how does their plan is what? It's got to be pretty similar week to week, right?
Yeah. So the starters, I would say, are probably the easiest ones to program for. As long as they're on more of a fixed schedule, it's a little bit easier. We know what days their recovery is going to be on, what days they're going to lift, what days they're going to have their sprints. And then we just program that out week by week based off of their pitching schedule.
We had Travis Hergert, I mentioned before, a couple of episodes back, the Phillies minor league pitching coordinator, and he said one of the things they did with Mick Abel last year was they moved him from Saturday to Friday. At some point, it was probably late May, early June, whatever. They moved. He was pitching every Saturday at the beginning of the year, and then they moved him and he pitched every Friday, and it had to do with the recovery, and they were able to add in like a bullpen and a weight session every week because they had no access to the players on the Monday day off, which was 2 days after the Saturday. Mm-hmm. So he would pitch Saturday and then have a light rest day on Sunday, and then Monday was the day off, and then by the time you get back on Tuesday, he's only got a couple of days to get ready to pitch again. So they moved him back to Friday, and that helped with his weight program and his, you know, the bullpens. He could get some extra work in the bullpens between starts as well.
Yeah, I think that was huge for Mick last year. I had the pleasure to work with him for about a month or two when I got here, and you know, he's a professional, but yeah, that subtle change by just one day allowed him to have a little more intent and focus in the weight room, and that transferred to him continuing to show that he was able to build strength and power throughout the season and pitch more innings than he had ever pitched in a season.
Yeah. So who are some of the most fun players for you to work around?
Oh, man. We have a great group.
Yeah, it really is a great group.
I mean, these guys, you know, there's not a lot of guys that give me a hard time about coming into the weight room and doing work. I know it's now late August, and a lot of guys, especially our position players, are a little bit beat up. But they still come in and get after it. I mean, you know, when Tommy McCollum was here, he's a fun one to work with because, I mean, he's one of the strongest and most powerful guys we have in the organization. And every time he came into the weight room, it was always a spectacle.
And he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Back to the podcast in a second. Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963, 732-370-5963, or richgreenlawns.com. And when shopping for appliances, electronics, and mattresses, you want a local hometown team that you can trust. That's PC Richard & Son. PC Richard & Son has a friendly and knowledgeable sales team, installations and repair service you can trust, and the guaranteed lowest prices. So get to PC Richard & Son today. Shop smart, shop local, shop PC Richard & Son.
What's your career goal?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know that I have a specific goal in mind. I've always wanted to be in a bit of like a leadership position. You know, I think talking with Pat, our coordinator, you know, that would be something that I would be open to down the line. Obviously, I'm still early in my baseball career here. But being a coordinator or working in the major leagues, I think that's a pretty awesome opportunity that if we're ever granted to me, it would be quite incredible.
What's the biggest difference about, well, I guess you're about working at the complex compared to with a team? Just the obvious answer is your sleep schedule, right?
Yeah, the schedule is quite a bit different. You know, you go from early mornings to late nights.
So what time would you get there when you were working at the complex last summer? What time would you get there in the morning?
Yeah, you get there around 6:30 or 7 a.m., you know, and then you're done by 4:30, 5 o'clock. So it's a bit different. The games are at noon. And then here.
And the heat.
Yeah, and the heat. I mean, you know, being down there June, July, it's quite oppressive. And, you know, down there, it's a bit different because the players are much younger. So
right.
A lot of that is kind of teaching them how to be professionals and what the expectations are, not only in the weight room, but to show up on time, to be prepared every single day. And here, you know, you have some older guys. You know, guys are 20, 21, 23. And so they have a bit more of an understanding of how their body functions and what they need. So I think that it's a bit more, I hate to say enjoyable, but it's a little more easy for me because the guys know what they want and they know what they need, and I can have those conversations with them. Hey, we're seeing this. Maybe we add this into the program. And they're open to those ideas.
One thing that I think the average fan doesn't maybe not understand quite perfectly is how long this season is.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's it's 132 games. Now, it's a little easier than it used to be when the days off were much fewer. Mm-hmm. Now you guys have, you know, every Monday off and the travel's a little lighter, so it's not as bad. But it's still tough. It's a really long year. Most of the guys are in their first or second full season. But for the guys in their first full season, and you've just added a bunch of them over the last couple of weeks, how do you guys have to manage them and get them through what's a very grind of a long grind of a year?
Yeah, so I think that, again, is like the artistic part of being a strength coach and understanding the daily demands of the players and having just open conversations about how they're feeling, you know, where their body is at this point of the season. You know, like you said, a lot of our guys here now are in their first full season, and, you know, we don't want them to break down in August, especially as we try to make a playoff push here. We want them to be as fresh as possible and ready to go for when that time hopefully comes. So the biggest thing is just, you know, I think Meg does a fantastic job on the athletic training front and keeping guys on the field. And, you know, just the conversations that we have between us and with the players and with the staff, I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, is hopefully going to keep these guys healthy and keep them performing at their best.
Yeah, you guys stress, you know, just talking to Megan and Travis and, you know, some of the other coaches, you know, it seems like communication is a key word. If it's not a key word, it's certainly a key execution point for you guys throughout the system. And, I mean, Travis talked to, you know, Brian Kaplan almost on a daily basis, and having Kaplan be heavily involved with the development of minor league pitchers from the major league dugout is, it's pretty unique. And, you know, you guys, you're in constant communication with Phil and Brady and with Brock and with the on the development side too. So it seems like that's a key buzzword in the organization right now.
Yeah. I think for, you know, obviously this is my first and only organization that I've worked for. But, you know, the one thing that I can say is that the communication factor is I think, the biggest piece. You know, the communication between the coaches, between the players. Without that, we wouldn't be able to be successful or be in the opportunity that we're in right now. And, you know, I'm really thankful for the staff that I get to work with this year, because we do have a really great flow of communication top down from Bull, Tank, and everybody. And with that, you know, like I said, I think we're going to do some pretty amazing things here as the season ends.
You have your job on a daily basis. Megan has hers. Brady and Phil have theirs. And you're going to do that no matter what. But how much more fun is it to come here every day when you've won 19 out of your last 24 games?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely brings a different energy to the ballpark every day. The guys, you know, they have a bit of, like, this air of confidence about them now, knowing that, you know, they've won that many games and we're in the hunt. And, you know, I think that's the biggest difference between this year and last year. Is last year when I got here, we weren't even close to the playoff hunt. And, you know, it's a bit harder to get guys motivated, especially down the stretch when basically they're just looking at the finish line. And so this year, the finish line is hopefully expanded, and you know, guys are a little bit more willing to work, and the energy in the clubhouse is great. And the coaching staff is, you know, I would say just as locked in August as we were when we first got here in April.
You know, in the first half, 2-8, and that's a tough hold to overcome, even though there's a lot of time left. You guys cut it from, I think it got to about 6 or 7 in the first half with a mess of teams. Cut it to a half game out, and then fell a little short. And then start the second half fine, and then have that rough stretch. 6 or 7 games under 500 in the second half, 8 games out. And now, again, we're taping this on Friday the 18th, and going into action Friday night, Jersey Shore is tied for first place with Brooklyn, who blew a 5-0 lead on Thursday night, while the Blue Claws beat Asheville 4-0. But, you know, the players, to their credit, and to you, the credit of the coaching staff as well, they have battled all the way through. And, you know, even if you have a rough patch and put your guys, you know, kind of in a tough spot, you guys have played your way through it all the time. Now, it didn't quite work out at the end of the first half, but hopefully it will in the second half.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's, again, like a credit to the coaching staff that we have here. You know, even when we've struggled, we don't panic. Like, yeah. Nobody pressed the panic button. It's just you show up, you do your job, you do what you can control. And if you do those things, good things will eventually start to happen. And we're seeing that, you know. Like you said, we started the second half pretty rough, and we were in a bit of a hole. But the guys, they never panicked and they never wavered from their work. You know, they kept doing what they needed to do day in and day out. And now they're starting to reap those rewards. And I think, you know, as long as we can keep doing that and controlling the controllables, then we're going to be very successful.
So before we say goodbye, and we thank you for a few minutes, this has been a lot of fun. What's kind of your overall message to these guys, you know, at the beginning of the year? Just show up every day and work hard, control the controllables. Is that what you said? Is that kind of, you guys put together a great plan for each individual, and they just have to what? Be mentally ready to execute it?
Yeah, 100%. My biggest thing, you know, and I tell the guys every year at the beginning of the year, I was like, as long as you show up, you have a good attitude, you work hard, and you're on time, you will never have a problem with me, and I will never have a problem with you. And that's been this group. They've worked hard. They show up. They're ready to go each and every day. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing for me is, like, show me you're a professional. And if you can do that, then you're going to be just fine. And, you know, I trust that if you put the work in, you're going to get what you want out of the programming.
What's the most satisfying part for you? Like, when a pitcher goes out there that was throwing 92 and he hits like 94 and a half or something? Like, is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, I love to see the guys be successful on the field. I think, you know, as a strength and conditioning coach, I don't get into the X's and O's as much. But understanding the game and seeing them be successful is definitely the best part of my job. And then when guys move up, like, I did my job. They're moving up. They're ready for the next level. And then, you know, hopefully the handoff to Bruce, our Reading strength and conditioning coach, and their staff, you know, they get the person that we had that, you know, I believe is a true professional and handles their business. And, you know, that when you see guys move up, it's bittersweet because, you know, you love working with them, but you want to see them be successful. You want to see them be big leaguers.
Like, I know when a player gets promoted, Bull will talk to Marty. Phil will talk to the guys in Florida, Matt Hockenberry and whoever else. Will you talk to the strength coach from Clearwater when a guy comes up?
Yeah, so Joseph is our strength coach in Clearwater. So anytime we send players level to level, we'll always send an email with kind of a rundown of, you know, what they've been doing, what their program looks like, and just keep the next strength coach, you know,
in the loop
of what they're working on. And, you know, that information is super helpful. And, you know, it just makes the transition for the guys a lot easier. They come here and, it's a new environment. It's a, you know, 1,000 miles away from Florida if they're coming up from Florida. And so that adjustment period is definitely a lot easier when you have a substantial amount of information on the player.
Mark Jesse, the Blue Claw strength and conditioning coach, thanks so much. A lot of fun. Keep up the great work, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks to the Blue Claw strength and conditioning coach, Mark Jesse, for joining us. Baseball fans, introducing Boundly Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of the minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the app or Play Store and start scoring rewards today. Blue Claws are in Wilmington this week to play the Nationals affiliate. They'll be there Tuesday through Sunday. Blue Claws are tied for first place with Brooklyn and the SAL North, and Hudson Valley will await whoever emerges from the SAL North in the first round of the postseason. That'll be on Tuesday, September 12th. Game one, if the Blue Claws do advance, would be in Lakewood, and then games two and three, if necessary, would be up at Heritage Financial Park in Wappingers Falls. So stay tuned for more information on that. Blue Claws have made up 8 games on first place Brooklyn here in the second half. They were 8 games out after July 21st and are 21-6 since then. Took 4 out of 6 over the weekend and last week from Asheville. And ironically, that's where Brooklyn is this week. They are down in North Carolina at beautiful McCormick Field in Asheville. So thanks to Mark Jesse for joining us. We'll have a couple more of these coming out over the next week or so. And we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Blue Claws are back home on Tuesday the 29th. 6 games with the Aberdeen Ironbirds, which are actually the final 6 games of the regular season, ending on September the 3rd. But hopefully there'll be more postseason baseball. We will find that out over the next few weeks. Thanks, everybody, for listening and for joining us. Hook, Line, and Splitter, presented by Judge Shaw Injury Law, is a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast.